Gordon Liddy Is My Muse by Tommy Tip Payne. A novel by John Calvin Batchelor. Read by John Batchelor. Hollywood Before the Mast. I meet Ahab. I get harpooned. 1. Tip's done TV enough to know that he's no good in the glass, which is show business talk for poor on camera. There's also Tip's opinion that he's done the Letterman show enough forever, and that the Today Morning Gang is yawning, which leaves him cranky with a conviction never to smell their caffeine breath again. Nevertheless, Johnny Carson's Tonight Show is moonwalking to sci-fi spy guys, and I blinked once and said yes twice when the booker called my Hollywood agency and they called me. Tonight wanted me right away, tomorrow night, to replace a Stalinist poet who was glasnost-bound in East Europe. Maybe some other combination. I was loafing and ice fishing at the time, up at my camp at Moosehead Lake. It was just after Christmas, when Maine's deep woods are white silence save for the wind and the occasional felonious snowmobiler. My solitary holiday had run its course. I'm a humbug about Christmas and happy for it. I was supposed to be starting and finishing a new romance of the Cold War. I write suddenly so as not to think about it. Besides, I've done all the research digestible, and the plots are buddies. Yet I was feeling too lazy to twist, assassinate, chase, rescue, ironize, and found myself keeping the fire too high and staring for many happy hours into another superb xenophobia game and my playmate, the Mac. Also, my imaginary best friend McCurr had been scheduled to show up so we could try one more time to teach me to ski at Squaw Mountain. But his Irish pirate boss had shanghaied him to go buccaneering again. Bluntly, I was catatonically Tip. For these slim warrants, I chose to exit my cozy burrow among black bears and go where I don't belong to get a hard lesson that love and madness are a tricky old couple who entertain bystanders the way hunting season amuses wildlife. Details follow, beginning with packing nothing since my tropical gear was in New York, ringing up the local motorcycle poacher gang I use as a limo service, and suffering a scary dawn ride over slick ice to Bangor for the hop and a half to L.A. and its choice neighborhood of make-believe, Hollywood. 2. I shall surprise you by declaring right away that I like Hollywood. It's been great to me. There are those other opinions, yes, but it's also true that anything that is said about Hollywood is true. Thievery, cokery, slavery, pre-Oedipal, creepy, rancid stew, etc. party line. As everyone's dearest press agent, Oscar Wilde, said of everyone's dearest humbug, George Bernard Shaw, you can say of Hollywood, it has no enemies, all its friends hate it intimately. But not Tip Payne. And it's not just the demi-large checks Hollywood has issued me, nor that I get to stay in my agent's mother's Beverly Hills mansion when I go there, nor that I am demi-somebody there for 5 projects that got made. There are also several of my brilliant hack jobs stashed away like treasure maps, one of which here guides me to prize folly. None of this business is why. I like Hollywood because I understand what it is. It's New Bedford, Massachusetts, 1850. It's the square-masted whaling industry on the opposite coast. Take an illustration. Observe the vast Pacific out there, the naked mass of the whalers tied up in Santa Monica. Look closely at the proud financiers called Mr. Goodfellow Man and Ms. Goodlady Person, who wait on the quay to sign on another scabrous crew of dregs, children, and whiners, who, when sent before the mast a year or two, will mostly obey the rules, take every whale they can find, melt the blubber down into oil, then sail back to disgorge the bounty into the hands of the goods. The famous ships' names are in the Whaling Hall of Fame, my favorite of the Stalinist or Cold War flicks. King Kong, Hunchback of Notre Dame, John Ford's Corpus, Body Snatchers, Ben-Hur, 2001, Jaws, Aliens. You know them as if you'd sailed on them, and that's part of the humor. The audience gets harpooned and converted while loving its predator forever. Meanwhile, the goods are keeping their counting houses happy, or not, and are trying to convince the bankers to loan them enough to crew the same old ship with a new name, or not. The goods are very good. That is a fact. They are trustworthy, thrifty, pious taxpayers who live in great clapboard houses that smell pleasantly of plunder. Sometimes they form cartels like UA or Warner's or 20th Century, but only for tax purposes, because what they love best is to operate independently. It's called being an indie. Borrow the money, hire the ship, take the plunge into the deep green sea. As for the scabrous crew, they come and go, and it's Hollywood smarts to let them have some of the swag, most of the glory, and all of the blame. The first mates you know, too. My favorites again are the Stalinists and Cold Warriors, Sturgis, Hawks, Ford, Kubrick, Spielberg, from all ports and creeds. The harpoonists are obvious, studs like Brando, Brando, Brando. The twist is that the crew mostly behaves when at sea, and when in port it gains useful publicity for meaningless whale oil by being what it is, dregs, children, and whiners. Cocaine is their current rum and folly their bed. When not before the mass, they will eat, punch, drink, snort, beg, cheat, apologize to anything. Their fate is the same as flesh, mean, desperate, organic. It's not even their fate to bury, because if it's really silly, the goods will name a ship after them and go fishing. The two correct questions you should ask now are, who is Ahab? Where is Moby Dick? I could be smart alecky and reply that Captain Ahab is in his cabin, since he doesn't appear on deck until well at sea, when he once again gets to quote scripture to albatrosses and goes stupendously mad. I could also remark that the white whale is wherever you aren't looking. He's a confidant of Poseidon and, Ahab's opinion, a familiar of Hades. Yet, I must be accurate. Ahab is a major character in a fine book too many educated people ignore, and Moby Dick is a big, nasty white whale who doesn't exist. You have noticed in my salty illustration of Hollywood that I named no captains. This is deliberate. There are no captains. No one is in command. It's a business, not a quest. The truth is that there are no purposefully mad Ahabs, no worthily pursued white whales. Fortunately for me and other scriveners, the goods neither understand nor want to that Messrs. Ahab and Dick are make-believe. What this means is that they are always looking for that famous captain to go a-questing. It also means that the goods believe they need my kind of cartography to place in Ahab's hand when they find him, as if I possessed a secret chart to Moby Dick's patrol area in Whale Alley. It's the best reason why I like Hollywood. I get treated as if I know something it doesn't. Yes, the word is that the only folk lower than actors in Hollywood are the screenwriters, who aren't writers, thank goodness. And yes, this is true, until you are the one who makes money. I had not lost it three times, had made it modestly once, and was now netting it like a Russian trawler. It was why Mr. Johnny Carson's show had called me. The indie goods who owned my latest picture were flacking me as deserving of an Oscar the Harpoonist nomination for my recent work. In Hollywood, that post-Christmas season, in brief, Tip was better than hot. He was pre-hot.